one of the great things about the blogosphere is that you get infinitely more space than you ever had before to communicate a story. I mean, you know, stories, it seems to me that the space for story seems to keep growing based as the number of media outlets grow as well.
This is podtech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hello, this is Jennifer Jones, and this week on Marketing Voices, I've got Steve Rubel, who's a Senior Vice President of the Me Too Revolution Group, which is part of Edelman Public Relations, and we're going to be talking about the impact of social media on the news business and public relations business. So, Steve, welcome to Marketing Voices.
Thank you for having me.
Great. Well, I really do appreciate it because I know you've had a long day. So I'll just dive right in. And what I would like to do is just really get your opinion, because you've blogged a lot about it, how really PR is being affected by social media. So what do you really think is the greatest impact?
Well, boy, there's a number. I think one of the greatest impact is that no longer does a trained professional, are we dealing with only solely trained professionals? We're dealing with individuals who through publishing become just as influential in their own right as the pros do, yet do not have any journalistic training. And I think that at the same time, it requires an entirely different way of working on our part to begin to build relationships with these people, whether they be bloggers or people, you know, video blogging or posting photos or whatever, however they're expressing themselves, and if they're influential, it's working with that group is very different than working with professional journalists.
So in terms of, you know, trying to get more specific about what is different about it, I mean, in the past, I worked in public relations with a firm called Regis McKenna. We worked a lot with analysts in the 80s and 90s when a lot of people weren't working with the analysts and really using them as third-party endorsers, in a sense, for new technologies, building new markets, really ensuring that it wasn't just all about what the press was writing about, but they used them as a way to back up their story. How do you think there's similarities to that or dissimilarities to that effect today?
I think there's some similarities and others that aren't. I think that what's similar is that certainly, yes, there are influencers that you want to work with, and working with influencers is something that the public relations community has been doing a long time. I think, though, that, you know, what's different, though, is that those folks, the analysts have a job to do. And, you know, you're helping them do their job, and as a byproduct of that, they might be helping you do your job. And it's with bloggers and podcasters and the like, it's completely different. A lot of them are not doing this for their job. They're doing it out of a labor of love. And, you have to think about what they want to achieve and help them achieve it, and not so much what you want to do.
Yeah, so that is a very big change. So do you think that ultimately any bloggers can be bought, more or less?
I don't think bloggers can be bought. I think if you're buying bloggers, it's not a good way to go. I think you want to build a relationship with them and help and think about what their motivations are. And the only way you do that is through reading. And based on that, you'll have an idea of how you can help them win and help yourself win. I mean, we're inviting bloggers to come meet with a CEO, for example, or meet with a group of executives could be a great way to go if that's what that blogger wants. Or, you know, giving that person products to review as learners could be a great way to go if that's what that blogger wants. So again, you need to just think about how you do win-win types of partnerships, and ideally, you know, co-creating and co-working together.
So do you think most PR practitioners today are really embracing social media?
I think embracing, no. I think accepting, yes. And I think, beginning to work with, yes. But I think the problem is that from what I've seen, a lot of PR professionals are taking the skills of old and applying them to the world of new, and I think it requires a different way of thinking than what they're accustomed to. And I don't think everyone's there yet, no, not by any stretch of the imagination.
So let's switching a bit to the media and the recipients of all of this, meaning the mainstream media and the recipients of sort of the old way of PR versus kind of now them also dealing with blogging and them having to realize that they are, in a sense, colleagues with these bloggers. What kind of examples can you give the listeners in terms of how you kind of blend the mainstream media with the blogging community when you are working with clients?
Sure. I think one thing you can do is to really think about what are the strengths and weaknesses of each, and how do you leverage them. One of the great things about the blogosphere is that you get infinitely more space than you ever had before to communicate a story. I mean, you know, stories. It seems to me that the space for stories seems to keep growing based as the number of media outlets grow as well. And so I think one way to go is to kind of think about bringing bloggers in early to the process, where you actually use them as a feedback tool and as a way to pre-brief them on news and see what they think, because they give you feedback that really helps you improve a product or a marketing strategy or whatever it is. And once you kind of have that early buzz going, then you do your full-blown press release, you know, your full-blown media announcement. It may not be through a press release. It may just be through an RSS feed or just a blog. And then eventually, once you've built that mountain of coverage, you can then take links and feed it out through the back to bloggers that might want to continue the dialogue and continue the conversation about that particular subject. So I think bloggers can be leveraged very nicely there at the beginning and end of a news cycle.
Do you think that in many cases the bloggers are becoming more important than the mainstream media?
I think they work together. I think that in some cases, yeah. I think if in the tech space, there are some bloggers that are more important than media, but then a lot of bloggers do feed off the media for what they write. So I don't think it's one replacing the other. I think it's different in every single situation.
Do you find that podcasting is also factoring into sort of the use of social media as it relates to doing proactive marketing and proactive marketing announcements?
Yeah, I think a lot of companies are dabbling in podcasting much more than they are in blogging. One simple reason: it's controlled and it's safe. So, and they get a bit of a halo effect from doing that, and that they can really become somebody who, you know, they really seem to be using the same tools that consumers are using, and I think people get excited about that. The downside of a podcast is that it's not nearly as viral and there's no conversation in it. There's no feedback loop. And so I think that it's a great first step for a lot of companies, and I think they have to use it as a stepping stone to something bigger.
So is there a way to make a podcast more viral that you've actually found at Edelman?
I think show notes do a lot. I think you can, you know, use show notes to really do that. I think also having the podcast live on a blog site where people can leave comments back that way certainly creates much more community. Opening yourself up to having audio comments is another great way. So I think if you could do some of that, but still, those are still relatively controlled vehicles. So I think, it's good to, like I said, it's a wonderful first start, and I think it's a great way to feed wet in this world with the intent of moving up to something bigger.
So do you think the press release is dead?
I think the static one-way press release with no way for people to talk back, in a linear format as opposed to, a format that's not linear, is dying slowly. I don't think it's dead right now by any stretch. I think that one reason is it's still a major disclosure point for financial-related communications. And until the SEC says that RSS is an acceptable disclosure point, press releases are not dead. So I think they're going to evolve into something different. But I would I think the wire services like PR Newsline and Business Wire are could be out of business within 3 to 5 years.
Interesting. We'll see if you're right on that. So does Edelman still put out press releases?
Absolutely. I would be lying if I said we didn't. We absolutely do, but a lot. Of course we do. And I think that like I said, I don't think this is going to be an overnight thing where one day we're not. I think it's going to take years, and I think press releases will still exist, but they will be no longer linear, and they will no longer be one way.
So what do you think the future is going to hold? What other kind of things are you envisioning that ultimately either you're going to be doing for your clients or they'll be happening in the blogging/mainstream media space?
I think it's bigger than blogging. I think we're going to do a lot more direct-to-audience programs. I think we can bypass media in a lot of cases, or we can add on things that really we couldn't do before that are direct-to-audience communications that are related to the media work we do. And so I think it expands the scope of public relations because it is very dialogue-driven. It also moves us more squarely into the advertising space because I think that advertising is suffering, and if people begin to want more dialogue, it's going to point more people towards public relations. So I think that we're entering the golden age of public relations, and it's really exciting.
Well, that's certainly a great way to end. So, Steve, thank you so much for joining me here on Marketing Voices. For all of you,
thank you for having me.
Oh, well, you're welcome. I want to make sure I give everyone your email because you so graciously said you'd take it or extend it. So it's steverubel@gmail.com, and it's steverubel@gmail.com. And that's, again, with Edelman Public Relations, which is the largest independent PR firm in the world. Am I not correct on that?
That's correct, and my blog is micropersuasion.com.
Yeah, that's great. So again, Steve Rubel, and this has been Jennifer Jones on Marketing Voices. And so until next week, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.